Today we're going to be talking about, of course, this topic. We've been doing spiritual gifts all summer, and last week we got to hear our missionary, Victor Hartsfield. He was so awesome, and we enjoyed his message last week about being salt and light around us. And now we're back to these more difficult topics in the spiritual gifts, because there's a lot of controversy about these. Are these still happening today? Are they not happening today? What do we do about this? Well, this week and next week, we're going to be talking about this topic. In fact, in your notes, you'll have all the points from next week with a few words missing, but it actually is both this week and next week in your notes. So be sure to bring those back with you, or do this. Put your name on the cover and leave it on the offering table, and we'll make sure that it'll be there next week when you come back. So just in case you think, oh, I'll probably take it home and forget it, put it on the offering table. We'll watch over it. All right, now let's review. What have we learned this summer so far? Well, the first week we did an overview of the spiritual gifts, the first time we met, and we talked about the passages in Scripture that talk to us about our gifting from God. If you're here today and you've put your faith in Jesus for eternal life, by the way, if you need a pen, Doug's here, so raise a hand and leave it up until Doug gets that to you. Thank you, Doug. If you're here and you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a believer in Jesus, guess what? You have a gifting from God Almighty. That's why we're even studying this topic, because listen, how can you use the special gifting that God's given you to do a certain kind of work for God if you don't even know what it is? All right? Now, by the way, we already handed out a test that you can give yourself, and more of those are coming in the days ahead. You're going to get two or three others in the weeks to come that you can take home with you. If you didn't get one, see me after church. We'll put one in your hands. But there will be other tests. In fact, one of the tests is one that you can give to a friend of yours, a spouse, a friend, somebody in your Bible group, in your life group. You give that to them, a coworker, and it just asks a few questions. And you can look and see what somebody on the outside observing you would say, okay, this is what I see in this person. Very, very helpful. We'll have that handed out to you in the weeks ahead. So we did the overview. We looked at the gifts as the big ticket item, you know, the big broad view of it. Well, then week two, we started getting into the nitty gritty, the more difficult ones. Like we were talking about, are these special gifts like the apostle and prophet and today speaking in tongues? Were those for just the early church when it was lifting off of the launch pad, when God was giving it extra fuel to get going? Or should all these gifts be continuing to this very day? See, that's where we're at. We have to say, okay, where are we at? Is every single thing that's listed here in our Bibles, is it still functioning today? Or are there certain things that are functioning? And, you know, well, of course, we're going to talk about that and look at that. So we did the gift of apostleship. You know, I told you that, you know, you had the original 12. Judas was a pseudo-apostle. He wasn't a true apostle because he wasn't a believer, though he acted like he was an apostle. But he went to an eternal hell because he never believed the words of Jesus. The things that Jesus was saying about eternal life, he didn't believe them. And because he didn't believe them, he was condemned. Because Jesus said, only those who believe in me have eternal life. It's when you believe the truth of the gospel that you have eternal life. So Judas was pseudo. So there was 11. Matthias replaced him. And then we said you have the Apostle Paul, number 13. Barnabas, number 14. And probably in Galatians chapter 1, James, number 15. So in all of mankind, there's only been 15 apostles. And apparently, the apostles had all the gifts. They didn't get just one gift when they got saved. They got all of them. Or in the case of the first 12 apostles, they got it at Pentecost when the Spirit came. Suddenly, the indwelling of the Spirit at that point. Because before Pentecost, people didn't get spiritual gifts. They didn't get this ability of the Spirit. Not to say they weren't talented. David was a musician. David was a poet. David was a king. David was a warrior. David had all kinds of talents that he used for God. But David did not possess a spiritual gift. The Spirit rested upon David. The Spirit did not dwell in him. like what began at the Pentecost 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. All right, so that's week two. Week three, the last time 2 weeks ago, we talked about the gift of prophecy. So what's the gift of prophecy? Well, that's in the early days of the church, before they had God's word, what they would do is they would have gifted people inside those little groups, inside those homes. They didn't have big services like we do. They got together. They broke bread before the meal. They ate the meal together. And then they shared the cup. They had the Lord's Supper. And then the elders, the leaders would speak. And at that point, the women were required to remain silent. And we're going to look at those verses in the days ahead. At that point, you know, like for instance, a lot of people give the Bible a lot of gruff for saying women must keep silent in the churches. But that doesn't mean that they can't ask questions or things like that. What it means is when they're celebrating the Lord's Supper, that's the point at which the women are to be silent and where that special time is going on. It's not saying like when Pastor Bob has a question and answer. I know it says ask your husbands the questions at home. Don't pipe up. But that was a little bit different in the early church because they celebrated, apparently they celebrated the Lord's Supper week by week. Not because they were forced to or commanded to, but that's just the way they did it. But nonetheless, everyone, this is so important because God put you on this earth, first of all, to become his child. Second of all, to be his steward, to be his manager. You didn't know this, but all of you, or maybe you didn't understand this, but all of you are managers. You're all stewards of God. And you have been given a special talent from the Holy Spirit, a gift to invest for God's kingdom. And one day, you and I, all of us, are going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, okay, let's talk about what you did with that wonderful gift of the Spirit I gave to you. If you used it wisely, or if you squandered it. Let's talk about that. So it'll be a very, very solemn day. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade people. Man, we share this with them so they get ready. Hey, isn't it great when you could come to a church where the pastor's constantly honking at you? Get ready, get ready. Jesus is coming. We're going to stand before him. And again, this does not have to do with whether you go to heaven or hell. The judgment seat of Christ has to do with your stewardship. Did you invest your gift for God? Okay? So we talked about the gift of prophecy. They didn't have Bibles in those days that they could bring to church. They didn't have Bibles they could sit down and read or listen to and watch. You know, you could watch the Bible literally today. They have the Gospel of John, and they show Jesus walking the earth, and the only words you hear are from the Gospel of John. It's stupendous. It's amazing what we have. But nonetheless, what I'm saying is this. In those days, they needed prophets. They needed people in those little groups that would meet in homes where, as they came together as a church, certain people were organizers, certain people were servants, certain people were teachers, certain people were prophets. And they would say, you know what, this group of people needs to hear something from God. And then all of a sudden, the Lord would give that person a prophecy. Sometimes it was a prediction about the future, as we saw with Agabus 2 weeks ago. But most of the time, they were edifying, encouraging, and building up. Like that verse says, it has those three things in it. The prophecies are given to edify and to encourage and so on and so forth. And so they would, in the local church, those prophets would begin to share. Now, there were also people who spoke in tongues. Say, Pastor Bob, what's that? Tongues. It's the word where a Greek word, glossolalia. And it just means language. Languages, known earthly languages. Now, in the last 115 years, about 115 years since the beginning of the 20th century, 1906, suddenly, because of what people began to do in California and Azusa Street there, people began to think that speaking in tongues was some kind of supernatural language. where people would all of a sudden, the Spirit would come upon them and they would just begin to speak in non-understandable utterances. You know, they might go like, "Shlapapekapetitapapaka," and it's not an earthly language. And they would just begin speaking with joy and, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's been going on for over 100 years, okay? And now, is that what the Bible's talking about? No, I don't think so. And one of the reasons is that at the Feast of Pentecost, when people were speaking in tongues, there were people from all different nations gathered there, 3,000 Jewish people from nations all over the earth. And when they began to speak in tongues, when the Spirit came and they began to speak in languages, the word tongues should have been translated in our Bibles, languages, known languages. They said, "We hear in our own language the wonderful," this is stupendous, "we're hearing in our own language the wonderful works of God." They weren't hearing some utterance that's not understandable. They were hearing in their own language the wonderful works of God. And in the Old Testament, Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 28, Isaiah predicted the coming of tongues. The prophet Isaiah predicted the coming of these languages that are being spoken by people that don't know the language. Suddenly they could speak a foreign language. And Isaiah said in Isaiah 28, Israel, Jewish people, whenever you see people begin to speak in foreign languages supernaturally, they don't know the language, but suddenly they know the language and can understand it, when you see that, know that God's doing a special work. And we're going to talk about that next week. But nonetheless, it was prophesied it was going to happen, and people that were astute, Jewish people that were astute, should have been able, in fact, Jewish unbelievers should be able to look at that and say, okay, this is of God, so on and so forth. Okay, so we'll talk about more about that next week. But let's get right into our lessons. What we've got today, the first two are review, and we're going to go down to number 8. So I've got 4 pages of notes here myself, and I'm going to take 2 for next week, and these 2 will be for today. And the first 2 are review things that we already talked about during this series. So let's look at number 1. Our spiritual gift has been given to us to benefit other people. It wasn't given to us so we could be cool and we could show off. Oh, look what so-and-so can do. That person is this, or that person is that. Or man, I wish I could speak in a foreign language, you know, back in the early church when people could still do that. Man, I wish I could do that. That would be so cool. Oh, I wish I could give a prophecy, you know, so on and so forth. And so Paul, man, he brought them in. He brought them in, and he hit both sides of the coin. Hey, if you could speak like angels, if you could speak the language of angels, but you don't have love, your gift is like somebody banging a gong, 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 like the heathen pagans did in there, and when they would moan and just like tapping on the bottom of a copper pot, drive you crazy. Okay, Paul says that's what your wonderful gift is like in the ears of God. It sounds like somebody clanging a kettle with a wooden spoon. Because if you don't have love, I don't care what gift you've got, that's not God's order. God's concerned about us loving one another. But I said it's both sides of the coin. God's concerned about us using our gifts properly. So that's why we need to learn these things. You say, it's so technical, Pastor, I know, and that's why I've given you a little booklet to take home. So when you're reading those tough verses in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, mostly 12 and 14, those are the 3 chapters on the gifts. That's why you can have that there handy and pull it out maybe in 6 months when you're reading and say, man, I forgot exactly what that meant there. Well, this will help you. And by the way, can I make a shout out to my mentor, Zane Hodges? He was my mentor for over 20 years, and you know what? I learned so much. Most of what you're going to hear today is right from his mouth, because Zane, not only did I get to hear him, get to hear tapes of his on gifts, I got to even interact. I would have questions, And my questions were answered, and I got to put them in the booklet I gave you. And I would ask them, Zane, what about this? This has always puzzled me. And so you're going to catch the overflow from Zane flowing through me. So I want you to know that. I'm not up here like some genius or something that I know all these intricacies. Zane, listen. Zane knew the Greek language, everybody, better than we know English. He was so good to look at the original languages. And so, you know, he's like reading the Bible in 8K. He's got an 8K brain reading the Bible. He doesn't have the old square TV with a tube where the TV was bigger than your end table. Man, I mean, he was blessed. And, you know, he taught Greek for 27 years, so at Dallas Seminary. And so he was a master. But you're going to get a little bit of that overflow today. I wanted to give credit where credit is due. Okay, so our gift has been given to us from the Holy Spirit the moment we got saved. We got a gift. We didn't know that we got a gift, but that's why we learned the Bible and we found out, wow, I've got a special talent. I get one talent. The manifestation of the Spirit, that phrase, the manifestation of the Spirit, that's spiritual gifts. But spiritual gifts are given to each one for the profit of all. I should say a spiritual gift is given. The Bible teaches we get one gift. We don't get two, we don't get six, we don't get 10. We get one. Okay, lesson two. What spiritual gift we get is the Holy Spirit's decision. But one and the same Spirit, notice we're in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are the key passages in the Bible on spiritual gifts. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as he desires. Okay, he's doing it as he desires and not what we desire. And aren't you glad that God didn't give you a deck of cards with the gifts on them and say, here, look at these 10 and pick the one that you want? Because we would probably pick the wrong one. Oh, I want this one. And God says, no, let me give it to you, your personality. I made you, I formed you. Before you were born, I knew you in your mother's womb. I had all these things already planned. So wonderful. Okay, number three. Certain gifts are more important in the successful functioning of the church than others. Certain gifts. And that's what the Bible says here. This is what this verse says. Certain gifts are more important in the successful functioning of the church than others. Well, like what, Pastor Bob? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. God has appointed these in the church. First, the apostles. Now, notice this. These aren't gifts, technically. These are titles here, at least here at the beginning, because we remember a few weeks back we talked about the Holy Spirit gives gifts, but Ephesians 4 says Jesus gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So Jesus is the one that says, I want this person gifted with the gift of teaching, I want him in this church. But see, it's still God, whether this is talking about the Holy Spirit or Jesus, and I kind of think it's probably talking about the Lord Jesus, or maybe both of them, because at the end of this list, you actually have actual gifts. And I realize there's the gift of apostleship, the gift of prophecy, the gift of teacher, but those are also titles as well in Ephesians of gifted people that Jesus gives to the church. In other words, he directs them to the correct church. Okay, that's where he wants them to be. Okay, so notice this. God has appointed these in the church. First, the most important gift. And you know what? This morning, I even wanted to verify this, so I just clicked on it in my Bible, and I says, I want to see that Greek word. Is this talking about first in meaning he did this first, or this is the most important? And it's the word that means the most important. Okay, highest rank. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Now, again, do we have apostles and prophets today? No, because the rocket of the early church had lifted off, and just like the rocket dispels those fuel tanks, the apostles and prophets fell away. There's no apostles and prophets today. But in the Corinth, apostles, most important, Paul. Second, those amazing prophets that could be sitting there during the Lord's table, and then all of a sudden they might say, "The Lord is giving me a word for you to hear. Thus saith the Lord." This is what God is saying. Ta-da. They didn't have Bibles. So certain churches needed certain helps. And that's what the prophets were there for. Now we've got the whole Bible. God, who in former times and in former days spoke to us and our ancestors through the prophets, Hebrews 1:1, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ's life exemplified. Okay, it just screams Jesus Christ. The Bible is Jesus in the sense that all of those things are true of him. Okay. So second, prophets. Third most important, of course, teachers. Very important. Gifted teachers. It might be a pastor. Hey, by the way, not all pastors have the gift of teaching. And in fact, I'll go so far to say is the Bible says this. It talks about elders who rule well. Elders who rule well. The Bible's concerned that the pastors not only teach well, but that they rule well, along with the other elders, okay? So sometimes pastors, like a pastor might have the gift of encouragement. You know, in another month, and by the way, I wanted to say we're going to have our 30th anniversary on August 4th. It's going to be a wonderful big day. I got great news for some of you that have been here a long time. Daniel and Donna Howard are going to be here on August 4th. It's going to be wonderful. They're going to lead worship, and it's going to be great. I've even talked to Craig Rollins, Mark O'Brien. So we might be having some of the old musicians come in. And so anyway, so excited about that. And so be inviting your friends and be inviting former church members that you're still in contact with. Let's get that word out. Okay, that's August 4th, by the way, no Bible fellowship that day. We're starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're doing three sets of music. Ben's going to speak. We're going to give Ben plenty of time. We're going to have special music. I already talked to Daniel and Donna. I said, "Daniel, Donna, I don't know if you can still sing. I don't care. You're singing." He called me yesterday, and I told him, "Man, pick out two songs, and you know we'll get together about that." Okay, so notice this, going back to what we're saying here, I was talking about Ben. You know, Ben Jordan, I believe, and I might not be correct about this, but, you know, I listened to Ben preach for about 6 years or something like that, and I think that Ben Jordan has the gift of encouragements. Man, he's the most when he comes on August 4th, man, you're going to leave, and your heart's just going to be three times bigger. I mean, it's just, you're going to be so encouraged, and because that's just the way he is. He's gifted. He's an amazing speaker. He'll tell you 8 stories in one sermon. And man, he's just got the greatest stories, and he weaves them in there. But that was his gifting. And he also led the church. So God wanted him to use his gift well, and he wanted Ben to lead well. All right? So second, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles. Okay, in the early church, miracles. Christians, right in the midst of the local churches, some of those Christians, probably not many, but some of them could do miracles. And you know, when we talk about miracles, we're talking about supernatural stuff. I mean, people that maybe had an arm that was missing, they could literally speak or even just pray and an arm would be there suddenly. Amazing, amazing. The Apostle Peter, he didn't even have to say anything. He would walk down the sidewalk, and the shadow that was cast, his shadow hitting sick people, raised them up. Miraculous. And again, the apostles had all the gifts. Okay, so now you get the idea. Notice how they go down in importance. Apostles, most important. Prophets, next. Teachers, next. Miracles, very important in the early church. Why? The rocket's trying to get off the launch pad. Man, they need to see what these men and these women are talking about is true. The world needs to see, hey, these people are for real. Holy moly, they can work miracles. They can speak in foreign languages. Okay, you get the idea. Miracles, then gifts of healings. There it is. There's another gift where actually healings take place. Miracles would be things other than healing, supernatural things happening. Then helpers, then administrators, and then a variety of languages, a variety of tongues. Okay? They're all important, but some are more important. Okay, number four. God did not intend for all of the Corinthian believers to speak in tongues, to speak in foreign languages, any more than he intended for all believers to teach, heal, or administrate. Okay, you get that? God did not intend for all of us to have all the gifts, okay? It would be too difficult. It would be too, without God's intervention, like he intervened specially for the apostles. They had special help from God, okay? But you know what? What's great, he's given you one special ability. Like, for instance, you might have multiple talents. You might be able to, you know, you might be able to crochet or make things, be a person that does crafts, and then you might be able to paint, and then you might be able to teach, and you might have all these talents, but you got one gift. And so we want to remember to focus. That's why we're doing this. We want you to learn your gift. So you got to focus on the gift. But you know what? He didn't intend for all of those people to speak in tongues any more than he intended all of them to be teachers, all of them to be healers, all of them to be administrators. Verse 29. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asks this rhetorical question, and the answer to all these questions, of course, are rhetorical questions, is no. You know, it's like if you're talking to your children, you'll use rhetorical questions. So you would say something and the intended answer would be no. Did I tell you that you could stay out till midnight? Did I tell you you can go off with so-and-so? See, they already know that. They don't have to go, no, because they already know the answer. They're rhetorical question. Okay. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret those tongues, those languages? No. Paul said, no, that's not the way it works in the church. There's people with gifts that are very important. There's people with gifts that are important, but they're less important than others. Okay? All right, so that's number four. Number five. Okay, we got 5, 6, 7, 8. Four more. Every local church is to earnestly desire the best gifts. And here's another word I looked up, too, just as a reminder. That word best. That means best in rank. Best in rank. Not better than others, but it's ranked as the most important, okay? Earnestly, and by the way, these are plural verbs and plural pronouns here. What do you mean by that? He's saying this to the whole church. When he says, earnestly desire the best gifts, follow me, everybody, he's not saying to individuals. Bob, earnestly desire the best gifts. Bob Ernst already has his spiritual gift. What it's saying is, hey, listen, as a church, you need to, all of you, in fact, the word you, yet I show you, that's plural in Greek. The old King James would put the word ye, and yet I show ye a more excellent way, they would put ye in there when it was plural. And so, but the New King James is used in modern English, so it's using you, but it's plural. It's like, they should have put really, but it would get monotonous, and that's the reason they didn't do it. They should have put, and yet I show y'all. I show y'all a more excellent way. I'm showing you as a church. You all ought to be earnestly desiring the best gifts. In other words, as a church family, for instance, if in your mind you feel like our church needs more gifted teachers, pray to God. Earnestly desire the best gifts as a church family to come into the church. Jesus is the one that places them there. And if you need more teachers, if you need more organizers, if you need, hey, but desire the best gifts, okay? Desire the ones that are going to bring the most profit. Some are more profitable than others. And that's just the way it is. And that's the way, hey, listen, that's the way it is in a big company. You've got the movers and shakers at the top. You got the brainiacs at the top running the whole thing. And then you got people, like a person in the whole thing might be a person that mops floors. Is that important? Yeah, we want clean floors, right? It's important, but again, it's not as important as the CEO or the CFO. So you get the idea. Okay, so this isn't talking. See, people have made this out. And I've heard preachers talk like this. Hey, what gift do you have? You know what? You can have the best gift from God. You can desire the best gift. That's not even what this is talking about. This is talking about, it's to you all, it's to the church as a whole. And as a church, if you feel as a church family you need more of a certain type of gifted person, pray to God and seek it. It's not talking about you as an individual saying, man, I got stuck with the gift of helps. I've got stuck with the gift of service. Man, I want to teach. No, no, no. Okay, you could either teach or you can't. Okay? All right? And so, anyway, that's number five. Number six, as important as it is to desire the best gifts, the highest ranking ones, believers are to desire having the love of Christ even more. Yeah. You know what? It's okay as a church family for us to desire the best gifts, but you know what? Even more, we ought to desire to love one another as Christ has loved us, to take care of each other. You know, Victor and Carmen were so thankful for the gifts that people gave to him and his wife last week. And I said, hey, listen, if you can, you know, slip me a 20, slip me a 100, whatever you have you want to give to help them on their way. You know, they're out there in humid Cambodia with a crazy language. It's taken them 9 years to finally nail it down, and they're still trying to learn the nuances. I was asking them, you know, how do you do Cambodian like with words like in the Bible, justification, reconciliation, propitiation? He goes, oh my goodness. He said, it's like really, really hard. You've got to get to know people and ask people that know the language, and what word should I use here? Isn't that, you ever think about that? Wow, that's intense to think about, everybody. But anyway, love. And, you know, we understand that. And, you know, I thank God our church is very loving, very kind to one another. It's a great, great strength of our church. But you know what? We should continually want to do more and more for each other. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, though I have all faith. In fact, let me see if I can remember from memory verse 1. Did I memorize that? If I have the gift of prophecy and can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but I do not have love, it's like sounding brass, a trumpet blaring, or it's like a clanging cymbal, a wooden spoon on a pot. Then he goes on to say, and though I have all faith, you could have the gift of faith, and you could have such a great faith in God. But guess what? Jesus said the most important thing is to love God and to love others. And it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you know what? He's still saying even more important. These three abide, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Because, man, it shows other people whether we really mean business for God. Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Wow. Wow. How important is that? Yeah, but man, I can teach better than anybody in the church. Yeah, but you're obnoxious. You get on everyone's nerves, and you're not loving, and you say things and hurt people all the time. Okay, you get the idea. Okay. So, and I'm working on it. Okay. Number seven. Two more. However, let's go back to six. As important as it is to desire the best gifts, believers are to desire having the love of Christ even more. However, though believers are to pursue the goal of loving one another, it must not be at the expense of neglecting spiritual gifts. And for the early church, Paul said, especially prophecy. Especially prophecy. You know, he was saying that you as a church, Corinth, you ought to be hungering for God to send prophets your way because they'll give you the pure word of God. Man, they could just speak it directly from God. Pursue love. Okay, there's, folks, there's the command to you and I. Pursue it. If you don't really care for other people, if you don't do things very often for people, if you're not generous to others, hey, listen to me, younger people. Every dollar you get, do you spend it on yourself? Do you put any money in the offering plate to help the church? Or are you just selfish? You just, everything you get, you spend on yourself, so on and so forth. You get the idea. You need to be pursuing love. You need to be like Jesus. You need to be helping others, being generous to others, blessing others. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Okay? You all as a church family, pursue love. You all as a church family, desire the very best gifts, but especially that you all may prophesy. Okay? Especially that prophets would be among you. See, again, everybody, if you get the wrong angle on what Paul's saying, a lot of people, and we make a big mistake when we read our Bible so often as if it's directed, it's being written, that phrase is being written directly to me and as an individual. Okay, because we'll read it this way. Bob, you should pursue love, and Bob, you need to desire spiritual gifts. That doesn't make any sense. If you're looking at, oh, I should be thinking about getting more gifts. No, we get one gift, 1 Peter says, and that's what we get, and we get it the day we're saved. That's talking about as a church, you all, yeah, be pursuing love. Be praying to God to send teachers and organizers and that, and so on and so forth. But especially, this was in the early church, especially that you may prophesy. Now, what that would mean today, because the prophets have been superseded, it would mean especially that you may teach, because that would be the next in line. Apostles and prophets were the foundation of the church. It's been superseded, and we could actually kind of substitute the word teacher there nowadays. Okay, you got to remember, this was written to a church 2,000 years ago, but now, if a church is seeking gifted people and you're praying to God for your church, Lord, I really want to love my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I really want you to send us some gifted people, but Lord, especially send us teachers. Oh, Lord, and you get the idea. Okay, finally. Okay, and this is, we're at the halfway point. There's 8 more to go next week. In church, the gift of prophecy, today we would say, teaching. The gift of prophecy is greater than the gift of tongues, the gift of being able to speak languages that you never learned. Of course, it's not in existence anymore, but we need to teach God's word here. In the Corinthian church, the gift of prophecy is greater than the gift of languages because prophecy edifies the church. To have that, when you didn't, in the day when you didn't have Bibles, and you could come to the church service week by week, and that gifted prophet in that church, whether it was a man or a woman, of course, the woman prophet couldn't speak during the Lord's Supper, but at other times they could give prophecy. But regardless, and by the way, you say, Pastor Bob, is God a spoil sport? Is God a chauvinist? No. When you get into the depth of Scripture, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It said the woman was first deceived and then the man. So there's some very deep and heady things in there about why God does what he does. God does not hate women. In fact, God in the gospel of Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ raised women up out of the ashes in that day. I mean, they were just so abused and so hurt by men. And I realize it continues today, but in that day it was just off the charts. Okay, so in church, the gift of prophecy is greater than the gift of tongues, okay? Because prophecy edifies the church, especially that you may prophesy. That's the reason why he's saying what we already read in 1 Corinthians 14. That's the reason. So look, we just got through chapter 12, and now we're at chapter 14, verse 1. But there's a lot more in chapter 14 to learn about this thing of speaking in foreign languages, okay? And we're going to learn that. But let me just ask you this. This was the last verse. It's only 11:43. So let's just for a few minutes. We don't have to go all the way to noon unless there's questions, good questions. But does anybody, as you were sitting here, as you were thinking about this, is there anything you want to ask, first of all, about spiritual gifts in general, or two, about prophecy or speaking in tongues specifically. Is there anything that came to your brain that you thought, you know, what about this, or how about this, and how did this function? Okay, do you think did you get a good grasp here at the beginning? First of all, the most important thing to remember, it's just unfortunate in our modern Bibles that glossolalia and words that are synonyms to that Greek word weren't translated languages. It would have made things so much easier. Because, you know, when the old King James translators used the word in 1611, people knew that tongues meant languages. That's what they called them back then. By the way, in 1611, in the old King James, it talks about the man with the gay apparel. Okay, guess what? Gay didn't mean what gay means today. That's 400 years ago when they said, hey, if there comes into your church a man in gay apparel, okay, they didn't say, oh, he's a homosexual. No, they said he comes in with really exuberant, fancy clothing. So words change meaning, and so did the word tongues. Okay, Glenn. Ecstatic, yes. That's good, Glenn. Yeah, and you know what? That's really good, Glenn, but even then, that's not something that's very, what do you want to say, prevalent. You know what I mean? When we use that, it does get used, but generally, if you go to a college and you're saying, I'm taking a foreign tongue, that would kind of make somebody's head turn a little bit. But what the phrase you use, because that phrase is very popular and it's very well known, everybody knows what you're talking about. Like you said, that's a great observation, Glenn. Thank you for that. Okay, Jeff? Yes. Wonderful. Thank you, Zane. Yeah, I had a great teacher, and I'm glad to pass on. You know, let me tell you a funny story. It's just a quote. The great preacher in England who's got his books line every preacher's shelf, C.H. Spurgeon, he's an amazing, amazing preacher. I mean, the guy was just like an encyclopedia. But people were talking to him and saying, you know, hey, you're stealing other people's stuff. And he said, if a man does not use another man's brains, it shows he has no brains of his own. And, you know, it's true. I mean, listen, if we didn't teach what other people taught us, we wouldn't be able to teach anything, because everything, we have to learn everything. When you're a baby, you know nothing. And you have to, the only thing you could do is learn what other people teach you. And so you get the idea. Okay, anybody else have a question? Those are good questions, observations. Okay, so let me do our application for today and then we'll pray. Okay, say, Pastor Bob, why did you tell us all this stuff? Why is this so important? Well, let me make some comments that are important. I don't even have them in my notes. But number one, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who believe with all their hearts in speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. And let me just tell you something. Watch, listen to me. God would rather have a Christian who prays in tongues, who just starts babbling to God, because of their love for God, and they're lifting up Babel to God, but it's coming out of a heart of love for God, he'd rather have that kind of a prayer, even though it's not biblically, technically correct. He would rather have that than you and I going before God and saying, yeah, God, bless the missionaries, Lord, and Lord, help us to see people saved. And okay, Lord, bless my family. You know, they like a heartless prayer. Okay, you get the idea? Yeah, we've got brothers and sisters like, I don't believe that praying in tongues, and what I believe in the Bible when it talks about praying in tongues is praying in a foreign language. And you say, why did God do that? Why did God give them foreign languages? Because people were traveling all the time and all over the world. And they would come through to have church, and these strangers would come in and they spoke foreign languages. And then all of a sudden, a person would be speaking their language and they would go, oh my goodness. And they would hear this. And then the man might say, I don't understand all that you're saying. And he would begin to talk some more to that person and tell them the gospel. Okay, so it's so important in the early days. Hey, listen, think about this. You and I read the book of Acts. Man, why can't that happen to our church? These people, 3,000 people get saved in one day. 2,000 people get saved this day. 5,000 people get saved this day. Why don't we have that? Because we don't have miracle workers. Because we don't have the people with the gift of healings. Listen, they had gifted, the Spirit came down and was giving them these amazing gifts. Hey, let me tell you something. I told you this in the past few weeks. If yours truly started healing people that didn't have arms, had bad legs, had brain tumors, had, listen, we would be running 20,000 people in 3 weeks. Because people would be flocking. And they'd come and they'd hear the word and they'd get saved. But God's chosen to do things differently. He's got purposes. We don't understand God's purpose. Well, why didn't God just let that keep happening? Because God's got purposes. And here's one of them. In God's wisdom and in his omniscience, he knows that more people will get saved in our world without those special gifts in this world today than they would if there were these special gifts. Now, by the way, there's going to come a time in the future when we're all raptured off of the earth, and those two prophets, suddenly they're going to have gifts. They're going to be miracle workers, and they're going to bring down all kinds of miracles and plagues on the earth, troubles on the earth. Suddenly, and by the way, they're going to have the gift of prophecy. They're going to get saved the day they start preaching. They're going to preach for 1,260 days. They don't have time to go to school. They start preaching that first day because God's telling them right into their brain what to tell people. And so they're going to have miraculous powers. Why? Why is it needed in the end days? Because the world only has 7 more years before Jesus comes back down and he cleans the world's clock. He's going to return and destroy all of his enemies and set up his kingdom, and he shall reign forever and ever. So the world's got 7 years, and so they need to see something special happening. Hey, who's these two crazies in Israel preaching? They're doing all kinds of miracles, unbelievable things. It's going to wake the world back up again. Okay? But right now, God says for his purposes right now, he's getting the most bang for his buck with the gifts he's given us today. By the way, we're going to have 1 week where we look over here, and I'm going to define all of the temporary gifts for you. And on this side of the page, I'm going to define all of the permanent gifts for you. The temporary gifts, apostles, prophets, and so forth. Miracles, gifts of tongues. So let me go back, okay, back to what I started at as an application. Listen, you love your brothers and sisters. Don't make fun of people that speak in tongues. Don't put them down. Now again, I realize there are charlatans and I call them out. There are people that are purposefully doing things just to impress people and they want to get rich, okay? They want to suck their wallets dry. You could have what I have and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, okay. So the idea is, but there's good denominations, and many of you have grown up in them, where this was commonplace, okay? People did these things, and so we don't put down. We love our brothers and sisters. This isn't like if a person says, oh, I believe with all my heart that God wants me to pray in tongues. You don't hammer them or anything like that. You can interact with them. Say, oh, tell me more. Tell me why you think that way and talk with them and love them. But don't hammer your brother and sister. You're supposed to love them like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So you get the idea. Pastor Bob, do you believe the temporary gifts are still functioning? No. But you know what? There's plenty of gifts that are functioning that I think that are, that I know, well, I would believe are still functioning. It's evident because we have all those gifts in our church. But it, like I said before, and we're going to talk about more of this in the future, it would seem to me like if all these gifts were functioning, I mean, all the churches would have miracle workers, they would have healers, they would have people that could speak foreign languages that they don't know themselves. All of a sudden they start speaking in German. Can they interpret it? No. Follow me. They know what they're saying, and they understand what they're saying, but can they interpret it to a person sitting there? No, because they need a person with the gift of interpretations. Wow, interesting. Some people have that spiritual gift of interpretations. They would interpret it to people. Very, very interesting. And would, by the way, they would interpret it to the people that are sitting there that don't know that language, because they're right in the middle of the church service, the Lord's table. So they had, the guy started speaking in German, yeah, and you know, he starts, I took German, I can't even remember one sentence. But anyway, all that to say is that the gifts, and you, I think today what we want to take away, one of the things we want to take away is the idea of love, and the other thing we want to take away is this: you've been given a gift. And in this summertime that we're doing this, more kind of teaching-oriented than preaching, I want you to discover what that gift is with the help of the Lord. Like I said, I'm going to give you some tests you can do. I'll give you more of them in the days ahead. You take those home and do those things faithfully, and you know what? You'll get them narrowed down. You'll start narrowing them down. Oh, yeah, I don't have those, but you know what? I might have one of these, two or three, and then you could get it to the very one. You could finally decide, you know what, I really think this is the one the Lord's given me. And you take it and you run with it. You use that. And you might discover why. You know what, I just realized that I do. I really have a gift to organize things. Well, man, does a church ever need organizers? I mean, you know what I mean. Okay, there's a lot. All those gifts are important. Okay, all right. If you don't have any more questions, you can come and see me after the service. And I'm going to dismiss this in prayer. But thank you so much. Oh, Doug, did you want to say something? Yeah, just everybody leave your pen right there in the pew, and Doug will come by and collect them, and he'll take care of that for you. If you don't think you're going to bring your booklet back next week, put your name on the front and put it on the communion table, and I'll take them all and put them in my office, okay? All right, let's have a word of prayer, everybody. Father in heaven, as your people, we realize that we're your stewards on earth. You're not here, Lord Jesus, to love others. You're not here, Lord Jesus, to encourage people that are down. And Father, the Spirit of God has given each of us a special talent, a special gifting, that we can edify the brothers and sisters. Lord, it brings so much purpose to our lives. For me to know that as a man with the gift of teaching, I'm supposed to focus on studying and learning and teaching people. I'm not supposed to get hung up on other things, though I do have to do other things. I have to visit people in hospitals, and I've got to encourage people. But Lord, I know what my main focus needs to be, and so that's why we do this, Lord, and that's why we cry out to you. And Lord, we do cry out to you as a church family for the best gifts. We just pray that you'll send the most important gifts that Ridgepoint Fellowship could use, that people will come into this congregation and say, oh, I know what my gifting is, and I'm ready to use it for God's glory. Lord, send them our way. We would just thank you so much to have other talented teachers, to have other talented organizers, to have other talented helpers and servants and people that can discern good truth, good teaching and bad teaching, truth from error. Amazing, amazing gifts. But Lord, we sure need your help in following through, because we're going to stand before you, Father. So please, Father, send your grace in our direction. Send your strength. Help us to get this deep down inside of us and to wake up and say, wow, yes, I am going to stand before the Lord. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So so that every person can know what they've done in their body, whether it be good or bad. So, Lord, we just pray that this will be very preparatory for the day we see you. May all of your people wake up and say, hey, listen, I need to get busy. I need to get active. I need to interact. I need to bless other people. I need to use the gifting God's given me. So, Lord, we just pray down your power, your help. Lord, we believe with God our best days are ahead, that we could do greater things for you as we seek you with all our hearts. Lord, as a church family, we cry out like the book of Psalms. We cry out to the Lord, the book of Judges. We cry out to you to save us, Lord. Not from hell. You've already done that. We cry out to you, Lord, to save us from mediocrity, complacency, the lack of passion for you, a lack of intimacy with you, lack of service to you, Father. Please raise us up, Lord. Help us to get more and more serious. Oh, Lord, we need. We sing about it, Lord. We sing about Holy Spirit, please come. Please revive us. Flow like a river. Flow like a river. We sing, and Lord, but Lord, help us to deep, deep inside of us desire it. And Lord, forgive us as your people. Forgive us so much for so often giving you short shrift, giving you the leftovers, second or third or fourth best efforts. Lord, you're worthy of our best efforts. Help us, Father. And we pray these things in the mighty name of our I Am, the great I Am, the name of the Lord Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen.